The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
30 seconds until 9 o'clock. I'm 30 seconds early. I think I'll just be silent. What do you think about that? Hey, it's John Caldera in for my friend Peter Boyles. Taking a well-deserved day off. You got me for 3 whole hours. Not to worry. We're going to get through this one. Why? I'm not really even up yet. I sleep in on Saturday. No. I'm thrilled to be with you. Give me a call, 303-696, to my friend Jimmy in the morning. Now, I've known Jimmy for I don't know how long. And the kid never grows up. He's still a kid. I know he's old enough to drive now. I swear he's still a kid. And what's so funny is I've never known anyone more wholesome looking, more Boy Scout looking, more trustworthy, more leave it to Beaver than Jimmy Sayenberger. And then he pulls out a harmonica and turns into Buddy Guy. It's the weirdest transformation. If you haven't seen Jimmy do the blues, it's just wrong. Because, well, let me put it this way. You know that our friend Pete Boyles used to do, you know, call wrestling matches for radio. He was a radio and an announcer at ringside. He had his wonderful days when he wasn't in sobriety. He had that colorful life. And there's a certain lifestyle there. Well, Jimmy looks like the opposite of that. I've done rock and roll lighting. Before I did the gig at Independence Institute, before I got behind any microphone at a radio station, I was a lighting guy, and I did lots of rock and roll, big rock and roll, little rock and roll. And so I was around the world of blues. And how to put it? There are some rough characters. And there's a lot of old guys, particularly in blues. And particularly in real urban Chicago deep city blues. Now we're talking old black guys who look like they're 100 years old when really they're only like 40, but life is just ripped through them. And they pull out their guitar, they pull out their harmonica. And years of life just come screaming through their voice or their guitar or their harmonica. And it's just beautiful and painful and soulful. And so I've seen this. I did it for a decade, decades. And you see them afterwards, and the lines on their face are just inches deep. And they look like their music. And then you see Jimmy Sayenberger, who perpetually has a 12-year-old's face. He looks like Leave It to Beaver. He looks like Jerry Mathers at 8 years old. Well, golly gee willikers. Golly, I didn't do very well on my math test. And then he was on his harmonica, and he sounds like one of these old original blues guys. It messes with your head. So if you ever get the chance to see Jimmy saying Burger Play, you really need to, because it's one, great music, but also it's a head trip. It's just a head trip. Hey, I wanted to talk to you first about music. This is what we call a transition. As you may or may not know, I have the honor of running the Independence Institute. And I've been doing that for, oh my God, almost a quarter of a century now. As I said before that, I used to make my living in an honest job. And I, like all of us, spend a lot of time listening to music. In the Independence Institute, I get to connect with other freedom fighters around the country. We share best practices. What's going on in your state? Are you dealing with the same thing? How did you deal with it? What can we learn from each other? And in the last decade, I've been meeting with people around the world, which has been even more eye-opening. And I've made several trips to Europe to meet with people who run similar organizations. And I have found it particularly fascinating to meet with people who are in former Soviet bloc countries. Ones who are worried about Russia reinvading, including friends in Ukraine before and after the invasion. And I found it just fascinating to see the differences we have, the differences that they have as far as the state, differences in personality, differences in worries, differences in policy. Last week, I was in the Czech Republic, and I still have a hard time because I'm of that age where it wasn't the Czech Republic. It was, as you know, Czechoslovakia. After the fall of the Soviet Empire, it became Czech Republic and Slovakia, because they're two different people. I was in Prague, and Prague is beautiful. Old Town Prague is beautiful. And I looked at somebody, it looks like Disneyland. It really does. I was with somebody, I looked at them and I said, you know, they modeled this place after Disneyland. And they did a double take, and it took them a while to realize that wasn't historically possible. But I had them for that split second, you know, like, really, they did that? It does look like this. Wait, that's not possible. I felt very satisfied. Anyway, while we were all there, all these different groups, some from the United States, many from Europe, there was a concert at the big arena, their version of ball arena there. It's called the O2 Arena. And guess who was playing? Roger Waters. Who, you might say? Well, you probably know the old band he was with called Pink Floyd. If you're my age, you know Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd, who did The Wall, all those great old songs, really head trippy stuff, Dark Side of the Moon. And somebody bought some tickets and asked if I wanted to go. So sure, you know, why not? What an incredible experience to go to Prague and see this British rocker. Roger Waters is 79 years old. Now, I tell you this because I have experience in rock and roll and stage shows. I used to be a stagehand. I worked my way up to some other stuff. I have never seen a stage show as elaborate as this. Not with dancing girls, not the, you know, Janet Jackson guys who are shirtless dancing around behind her kind of stuff. Not that, but just the size and scope of the visuals, the staging. So usually when you go to an arena show, the stage is at the edge of the arena. It's at the end. And there's a horseshoe around, and that horseshoe is the audience, and down at the end is the stage. You've done it. You've seen it. Whatever big stage you've done. No, he did it in the round. So he was in the middle. He was in center court, if you will, where the Nuggets tip off for to start the basketball game. That's where the stage was. You remember the album The Wall. So he approximated The Wall with this huge, huge, I don't know, 30, 40-foot wall that was a huge cross, if you will. Not a cross, because that would be religious. An X. It was cut, the stage was cut in four. Four huge, big blocks that looked like the wall. Boom. And so the stage was cut into four pieces. So you walk in, and the music starts, and you can only see one-fourth of the band. And it's like, well, how am I going to see anybody else? And we're down on the floor, and it's open standing. Nobody's sitting. And it's like, how are they going to do this? And this wall is maybe 8 feet thick, and it's massive, massive television screens. One big screen. Really eerie stuff. Wonderful visuals going on. And slowly, as they play a couple songs, it rises. It rises enough so that the whole stage becomes unified. All right, pretty cool. And he plays some Pink Floyd stuff. But what it turns out to be is an entire anti-Western, anti-capitalist, anti-American screed, a two-hour-long temper tantrum from Roger Waters. It was a political piece of performance art. It was incredible. I want to share just some moments of it with you. So this big screen, this at least 30, 40, 50-foot screen, and that's two-dimensional, because remember, it's a big cross, a big plus sign, a big whatever. And so it's just this two-dimensionally thick, incredible thing, and everything's dark and gloomy and very artsy. I mean, just wow. And throughout it, he has, in huge block letters, narratives going of what he thinks and what he's saying. So it's not like it's subtle. He puts the messages up there in big block letters about how capitalism is awful, how America is awful, all the woke messages you could imagine. And everybody claps for the old songs. And then he plays a bunch of his newer stuff, which is all whiny, woke, victim-centric stuff. Now keep in mind, this guy's wealthy. It's estimated, I found out later, that he's worth about $310 million. So they guess. And then it hits me about midway through this grand performance. I'm in Colorado. I'm not in the Czech Republic. I'm not in Prague. I'm in Denver, Colorado. Why? On stage is a privileged white guy who, through the blessings of the marketplace, through the blessings of capitalism, through his own wealth, is spouting off against the goose that laid the golden egg. Here he is, just like the progressives in the Capitol in Denver, just like our progressive overlords in this state are using the wealth that capitalism gave them to destroy the capitalism that made them wealthy. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, this is incredible. And at that point, he goes into an anti-American rant. He's singing this song about how evil America is for its military exploits. Now, you're going to love this. Pay attention on this one. Dial in on this one. Mammoth screen in front or above him now. He's above this floating wall. It's above him. So imagine instead of a black and white screen, it is blood red and black. So black and blood red. And he plays a video of Reagan. Reagan's head is there, like Big Brother, talking about the evil empire or fighting against the evil empire, communism. And in big, huge red block letters are the two words, war criminal. He's calling Ronald Reagan a war criminal. And down below is this weird number, 30,000 war dead. So he uses this picture of Reagan, goes through this 30-second speech of Reagan doing some sort of patriotic thing, and calls him a war criminal, accuses him of killing 30,000 people in war crimes. And I'm looking at this, and I'm trying to do the mental calculations. We are in a former Soviet-controlled country where, not that many years ago, this guy wouldn't have been allowed to even come and play this evil rock and roll music, where this stadium arena did not even exist. And he is ragging on the guy who ended the Cold War, which allowed his records to be sold here, and he is making a gazillion dollars selling tickets so people could come and see him ridicule the guy who ended the Cold War on a piece of ground which is probably just a few miles away from mass graves and hundreds of labor camps, forced labor camps from communists. And he's calling Ronald Reagan a war criminal. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, does anybody else see the hypocrisy here? This guy doesn't quite get it, does he? He's making capitalist money in a country that was a communist country, and he's ripping on the guy who freed that country from this oppressive machine. And it just made me think about our own situation in Colorado. It just hit me. It hit me that that's what we have here. We have a governor who became ultra wealthy thanks to our system, who has now passed law after law after law, collectivist law, that has made our state less and less competitive, taking away the ability for small businesses to succeed. taken away the rights of individuals, put in the power of bureaucrats, and moved us down the socialist path. So we have a bunch of people in power who have benefited from capitalism, become wealthy from capitalism, and have used their benefit of capitalism in order to kill capitalism. Oh, and don't think it was just Reagan. No, he went on to call every other president, including the Democratic presidents, war criminals. He didn't call Putin a war criminal. He didn't call Stalin a war criminal. But the Americans were war criminals. Does anybody else see the mental flaw here? 303-696-1971. He then went on to do some of the hits of Pink Floyd, including the famous song Money. Boom, 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 boom. By the way, the hit song for Pink Floyd, Money, one of the few pop songs ever that have a 7-8 beat instead of a 4-4 beat. Money, so they say. You know the song. And on this big screen, he has dancing pigs. Not just regular pigs, but capitalist pigs with top hats and monocles. And they're stomping over things and throwing their money around. So here he is making money as a capitalist pig, putting down capitalist pigs. And I'm thinking, do you not see any sort of hypocrisy in this? And it really hit me of, I had to go all the way to Prague in the Czech Republic to find Colorado-style progressivism put on stage for me. This is the entertainment about the progressive socialists that are in charge of our state, our cities, our schools. And there he was, embodied on stage. Rich and empowered. Doing the work of communism by ripping down capitalism, which empowered him to do all this as he's getting wealthy. Oh, it was terrific. It was amazing. By the way, he basically took the side of Russia during the invasion of the Ukraine. That put him into some interesting public relations issues. Anyway, give me your thoughts on this one. It was interesting to take a step away from Colorado to get that better sense of just how weird it is. And might it be something like this? And I've thought about this, and I've got to run to a break here. I've noticed in Colorado, the rich guys that have pushed socialism in Colorado. Tim Gill, Pat Stryker, Rutt Bridges, Jared Polis. They've earned their money. It's their money. But they've made it like a rock star. Rock stars make their money quickly. It's like they hit the jackpot. They hit the lotto. It's not that they had to build buildings, build farms, build breweries, build car dealerships, whatever it is, and deal with OSHA regulations and environmental regulations and healthcare regulations and zoning laws and this and that. A lot of them made their money in tech. You know, Tim Gill made his money in a software thing. Pat Stryker made her money, well, I guess in the old-fashioned way. She inherited it. So they all made it quickly. George Soros made it in currency manipulation. He made it quickly. Pa-boom, made a few things, and bam. just like a rock star. Whereas some of those old-time rich, awful capitalists that the right seems to gather, they made their money actually having to do things like build buildings, build factories, deal with evil employees, and all their HR problems, and had to deal with all the regulation and regulation and taxes and regulation and taxes and regulation and compliance and people putting their oil wells out of business and all that other stuff. And I realized Colorado's progressives are rock stars. They just made their funny money overnight. It wasn't really them. It's Facebook. They gambled, they became wealthy, and now they're smarter than any of us. All right, give me a call, 303-696-1971. In for Pete Boyles, I'm John Caldera. Keep it here, 710 KNUS. 30 minutes after, I'm John Caldera. In for Pete, give me a call, 303-696-1971. I went to Prague. First time I've ever been to Prague. What a cool city. I got a chance to go to an old dinosaur rock and roll show, which is all the rage right now. I think I'm going to go see Eric Clapton later on in the fall. These are the retirement tours. I've gone, you heard the Who there. I've gone to the Who a million times. And one of my favorite bands. And it's old boomer nostalgia tours. I remember them from the 70s. We used to go to the shows, and it was just such good music, I tell you. And so these guys are still cashing it in because I think they're living longer than their retirement accounts. And we like reliving the past instead of listening to new music, which there's amazing new music out there. We're just too stale to understand how to access it and listen to it and get to used to it. So I had the chance to see Roger Waters of Pink Floyd in what was a former Soviet bloc country. And there he is, a communist whore. And when I mean communist whore, I'm not joking. In this incredible, incredible staging he did, I mean, just ridiculously mammoth show. I'm at the age now where I don't need a big light sound, special effects. Wow, look at what they did with the stage, and it turned into dragons and flew around. No, I would be just as happy to see a bunch of guys up on a stage with enough light to see them, but nothing changing. You know, no wiggly lights, no smoke show, no light show, no big TV screens, just a bunch of guys playing music and it's sounding great. You're like, oh man, that was really cool. You know, like rock shows used to be. Anyway, in this tantrum, this was like a high school tantrum. The whole show, the screen kept writing out a narrative about how evil capitalism is in the oppressor versus oppressed theme. Of how minorities were oppressed, how other people were oppressed. And there he is playing in a former Soviet country that was liberated by Ronald Reagan during the Cold War. And instead of saying thank you, he condemns him as a war criminal. A little louder on that one, Luis. Treaty, did you say? Tracy, damn, there. I'm old. I went to a rock show. All right, let's go to Tracy. Anyway, it was just, nobody could see, it was just so obvious. Like, you are a rich kid on stage having a temper tantrum. And it reminded me of every progressive in our state capital today. You're rich kids having a temper tantrum, not understanding where your wealth is coming from. Hey, Tracy, thank you so much. Welcome. You're with John Caldera.
Hey, what's going on, John? You remember me? I've called you several times, man. I had that comment about Donald Trump still being president, so he really can't run again.
Okay.
Hey, but anyway, you know, all this stuff you're talking about with Roger Waters and stuff, you know, it's really it's theology, man. And you know that he actually has a lot of influence in all this immigration and all this stuff that's happening down there on the border and stuff. If you go back years ago, they support all that type of stuff.
Who's they?
Who's they? The Royal Society, you know, the golden head of Babylon, which you know, they call it Vatican City.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you know, I don't know. I didn't know how much you know about the Bible or any of that kind of stuff, but, you know, theology plays a big part in it. You know, even old King Charles, he was back, you know, probably like a month ago on the radio, on the news, telling people how much he was a follower of Jesus. And you're quite aware of Queen Elizabeth and knighting all those musicians and the roads they follow, and you're quite aware of the surroundings of the Capitol in Denver. You know who the Scottish Rite are and the Immaculate Conception and all those different churches that surround that place. So these,
and what does this have to do with Roger Waters and capitalism? Help me out.
Okay, Ronald Reagan, you know, so he serves them. He, you know, so he curses them. Jesus says, bless those who curse you and do good to those who do evil to you. So you know, they're fulfilling that will. You know, they serve the crown of England.
Okay, tie that up into a bow for me. What am I missing?
Tie it up into, how about Albert Pike? Do you know?
No. I'm sorry, Tracy, help me out here. Talk to me like I'm 6 years old. What's the point you're trying to tell me?
The points I'm trying to tell you is that these people are it's the great work. They're the builders of this society. They're communists. They're working on it. They all serve. They serve the principality of Rome.
Okay. So Roger Waters is working for Rome?
Well, you know, think about it. Go
through. Now, I ask you a question. No. I ask you a question. So Roger Waters is working for Rome? Question mark.
Roger Waters serves the crown.
Okay? Which crown?
Which crown do you think it is?
I didn't ask you. Empire. Don't answer a question with a question. Come on, Tracy. Try to focus. Put down the Bud Light and help me out.
I don't drink the Bud Light. You know all. You know all.
No. Come on, Tracy. All shake right. It off. Shake it off. So Roger Waters works for which crown? It's not a trick question. Okay, I just need a straight answer.
The witch crown. You said witch crown. So there you go. Maybe it's like Elton John.
One last time, and then we're going to say goodbye. We're going to say goodbye after this, Tracy, if you don't give me a straight answer. You said that Roger Waters works for the crown. And I asked, which crown does he work for? And he's gone. Okay, that was a truly Pink Floyd-esque call. All right, let's see if we can do a little better this time. Hey, Patrick, welcome. You're with John Caldera. So glad to have you, Patrick.
Hey, John, can you hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Great, okay. So Roger Waters works for the crown of the elite, the upper crust, the people who are born to rule over the rest of us. They hold us in disdain. You know, partly some of them, like Roger Waters, have been given a gift that they've forgotten how much what it really means to have the talent that they do. I work in construction support. I drive a truck, deliver a product out to job sites and stuff. So I get to know a lot about what's going on. Several years ago, I brought a what I deliver down to a job site. What's the private school down there in Cherry Hills? You know, the real elite school.
I can't. Oh, think of the name there's of it. Grayland and there's Kent and there's. Anyway,
it might have been Kent. Doesn't really matter. But the guy I was dealing with, you know, we're standing there talking before I get to work, and he goes, you know, he says, "See that lady over there that's walking by?" And he goes, "Yeah, about 2 hours ago, we were in a meeting talking about what we needed to do, where things were going to be, all that sort of stuff. She was fine talking to me and all that." And he said, "About an hour later, I walked by her and I just, you know, I said hi." And he said she just had her nose up in the air, kind of that looking off in the distance like, "You don't matter to me. I'm not going to talk to you." That's how these people look at us. These are the elite who were born with the gifts to rule over the rest of us. And they don't see the big picture of what true capitalism brings, where even though some of us aren't the smartest in the world, we still have something to offer. And when there's incentive, which capitalism brings, it brings out the best in us. When, you know, I mentioned this to Peter a couple of weeks ago, you know, they had a saying in the old Soviet Union of, "They pretend to pay us and we pretend to work." You know, and if you go deeper than the surface of those words, it basically means you're never going to get the best out of everybody because there's no incentive, because you won't move up. You're stuck in a class of workers where you're going to work for the elite, and they don't recognize anything in you that might bring everybody up. You know, the old saying of a rising tide lifts all boats. They don't see that because they think they are, you know, the aircraft carrier, the big luxury
right,
yacht, whatever.
Right.
And they don't want you messing in their waters.
Let me try that a little differently and try this on for size. Roger Waters, I don't see as an elite in that he came just from where you came. You know, he came from a working class family. Eric Clapton came from, his father was a bricklayer. You know, these are working class Joes, the guys particularly from rock and roll. And they don't come from the aristocracy. England comes from a lot of aristocracy, and rock and rollers don't. What's different about socialism and communism is that it's not what you do that matters. It's who you know that matters. It's your political connections that matter. That's
sure.
What it's not your merit. It's your identity. It's you get better service because you're a member of the party or you're a member of the party in favor. That's what's so ugly about it. And you don't get recognized as an individual. You get better service because you fall in line. And that's why this cancel culture that we're seeing today is so very dangerous. People are afraid to speak what they believe is the truth, what they want to say. They're afraid to be an individual because it will cost them. That's why the pronoun police are out there to take you down. It's why Colorado's turning into North Korea. And people are afraid to work. People don't want to work. Why work if you can be canceled if you stand out? It is scary. I think I know what you're talking about. I agree with that. And the elitism that we're seeing is sadly made possible by capitalism. It is so weird that capitalism has been so successful that it has created such wonderful success that it can fund people like Jared Polis and George Soros and the environmentalist Steyer, out in California, and Pat Stryker here, and Tim Gill here, and Rutt Bridges here, that can fund the socialist takeover of our state. And guys like Roger Waters, they're all birds of a feather. The successes of capitalism allow them to forget how they became wealthy. It's ridiculously sad, and they can go off on their own flights of fancy. What is the difference of a rock and roll star trashing a hotel room or a rich kid like Polis trashing a state? The difference is a hotel room he has to pay for. A state like Colorado, we have to pay for. I'm late for a break, but Patrick, you hit it on the head. Thank you so much. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. I saw the video for this at a restaurant. I forgot about it. Who stars in this video? Who plays the corpse? Anyone? Anyone? Yes, you in the back. Yes, Kim Basinger. Go figure. Hey, I'm John Caldera, in for Pete. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Let's get to the phones. Evan, welcome. You're with John. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Always good to catch you when I do, John. You do great work, and like what you have to say.
Well, thank you, sir.
I just wanted to call and I guess float an idea to you. See what you thought about it. Maybe other people think about it. But we just finished Memorial Day, correct?
We did.
And Memorial Day...
Was that a trick question?
No, it's not a trick question, just to make sure where my mind is and use that as a stepping stone. Memorial Day is supposed to be the commemoration of those who unfortunately died defending the country. Now, I didn't have to do that, and doesn't look like you had to do it either, but I did wear the uniform. My thoughts go along this line, though, sir. We celebrate that, but at the same time, the southern border is wide open, and I'm not happy with that. I don't think anybody I know is. Perhaps we should, eliminate Memorial Day until they close the border.
And what would that serve?
Like a sit-down strike. The next one that's coming up is the 4th of July. I think that should be dishonored, too. Just don't observe it. Go ahead and work. Forget about it. It's a national holiday. But we need to begin defending this country again, and particularly on the southern border. And that really is the nutshell of what I've been rolling around.
I sympathize with your frustration of the federal government failing in one of its core functions, which is defending our borders. However, I guarantee you our executive branch will not give a damn whether or not you observe 4th of July, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, or anything else. It's not like boycotting a product which will cost a company revenues and perhaps put them out of business. It's not like a strike which will cost a company that cannot put its products out on shelves. Joe Biden doesn't care if you go to work on the 4th of July. Feel free to do so. I think your heart is in the right place, but it's just not going to matter. You're not going to get Congress to cancel the day and force people back to work. That's not going to happen, because if Congress were able to do that, they would instead do something about enforcing the border. So I get your frustration, you know, I've always thought
that we ought to take away customs enforcement at airports. I always thought it's interesting that I land back in the United States and I've got to wait in line for somebody to look at my passport, and I go, why are you doing this? I mean, I don't actually ask the guy. He's just doing his job. And I think, why don't we put out a proposal that we just get rid of Customs and Border Patrol at airports so whoever flies in can just walk into the country? And people would go, well, that's crazy. You just can't let anybody walk in on an airport. And go, well, we do it on the border. What's the difference? I bet we get a better class of people coming through airports. It's more expensive to fly in from overseas than it is to walk over across a river. Why don't we just save the money? And people would think you're crazy, but it's the same thing. I get what you're saying, Evan. I just don't think you're gonna get a whole lot of result from it.
I understand. Well thought out, sir, and don't think it's going to cause a tidal wave, but it's under the guise for me of what else can I do? How else can I protest this? Phone calls and elections don't seem to do any good. They seem to go the wrong way anyhow. So, hey, let's just ignore national holidays. That's kind of the crux of what I'm getting at.
I guess, well, let's think through this for just a second. What is it that politicians want? Every politician wants only one thing, which is to get reelected. Politicians also want to spend. Those are their weak parts. Why is it that politicians want to spend? They want to spend because they want to get reelected. They are really one-dimensional creatures. They are remarkably expedient. And I believe conservatives have a weakness more so than progressives. Progressives are more policy-oriented than conservatives. Conservatives are more personality-oriented than liberals. Liberals want policies. They want open borders. They want to defund the police. I found overall conservatives get more attracted to the cult of personality. We want Trump. We want Trump. He's the best. He's the Messiah. And because of that, progressives work differently. They volunteer differently. They do things differently. They vote Chase differently. They get involved in local government differently. They knock on doors differently. They give money differently. Our team gets more and more wrapped up in the cult of personality. And I've been doing this for 3 decades professionally, and I haven't seen it change, really. And I believe it's the downfall of conservatives, is that we have not been able to break the cult of personality. And it's why I believe it's why we fail. So I'm just thinking out loud because I have this terrible tendency to think while speaking, which is what gets me into trouble. Not observing Veterans Day. I would love it if people worked on Veterans Day. I would love it if people worked on every day. I think work is glorious. I don't know what a better protest is to close the borders. I don't know.
Agreed. And that's why I wanted to get your thoughts on it, sir. I appreciate your consideration and your thoughts.
That'd be a good thought. Let's throw it out. Maybe somebody else has a good thought for that as well. Hey, thanks for the call, Evan. The number here is 303-696-1971. I say open up the borders at the airports. Get rid of customs. It makes no logical sense to have open borders in Mexico But still, we have to go and show our passports to get back into the country and go through customs when you land at the airport. Explain that to me. That is just nutty. All right, 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for Pete. Keep it right here, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.